This is Doug Gillard of Guided by Voices, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today, we're going to hear from Alex Thompson, Director of Advocacy for the New York Association on Independent Living, about some legislation for people with disabilities that Governor Kathy Hochul signed last week. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate on this very hot Thursday. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the network, network. On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through.
On Saturday, August 6th, PS21 is putting on a show in Chatham's Crellin Park for Crellin Park Day. It's an interactive program called 846, a retelling of Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring. It's put on by the Jamal Jackson Dance Company. And it's at 3 p.m. on Saturday, August 6th in Crellin Park in Chatham. Find out more in the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. And you can also list your own events there to be read on the radio at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Round Top Productions in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Mara Rosner reports for Columbia Green Media that the Athens Town Board decided August 1st to table a proposed eminent domain proceeding that would allow the town to seize a private home as part of a plan to move the Athens Town Hall out of the community center and construct a new building. The town had spent more than $20,000 on the proposal as of August 1st. Quote, so far the town has spent $17,500 on an engineering firm and $2,900 on an attorney, unquote, Athens Town Supervisor Michael Perrone said. Quote, in total, the town has spent $20,000 towards the eminent domain proceeding, unquote. The town's decision to table but not close the public hearing on the proposal gives the board time to review the comments, statements, letters, and other information submitted by the public. The town board may decide to more fully evaluate other options based on the public hearing, Peroni said. The supervisor is calling on six architectural firms specializing in the adaptive reuse of historic structures to provide services. Three firms have given the board information about space planning and the cost to renovate the Athens Community Center. Residents of both the village and the town have voiced concerns about the eminent domain process. Specifically, how much has been spent on the plan to date, and what role has attorney Melissa Cherubino of the Whiteman, Osterman, and Hanna firm in Albany played in influencing the board? Quote, I'm concerned she's advising the board on what to do or not to do, unquote, Sheila Brady said. Quote, and may I ask how much has been spent to hire an attorney, unquote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
CBS News reports that Governor Kathy Hochul announced $1.3 billion in funding for bonuses for healthcare workers and plans to increase wages for home healthcare aides on August 3rd. There are currently more than 9,000 healthcare job openings across the state. Hochul said, and I quote, easier means relieving the financial crunch that is required to get the education necessary. So today, we're here to announce the 1,000 winners of our Nurses for the Future program, end quote. Bonuses will be awarded to workers who make less than $125,000 annually and remain in their position for at least 6 months. Lee Zeldin, the Long Island Republican congressperson running against Hochul, responded to the announcement writing on Twitter, and I quote, Kathy Hochul can start by giving all the health care workers she fired their jobs back with back pay, turning heroes into zeros for not wanting to get the COVID shot is as wrong today as it was when she first fired these healthcare workers, end quote. Read more about this story at CBS News.
The Daily Freeman reports four employees at Coxsackie Correctional Facility were hospitalized and several other people were injured after a fight at the maximum security prison August 1st, according to the New York State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision. Authorities said the employees were treated for injuries ranging from head wounds to blood exposure. Four other employees complaining of pain and swelling remained on duty. According to the department, at least 10 security personnel who responded to the incident were injured. The incident, as reported, failed to include an accounting of how many incarcerated men were involved and the nature of their injuries. According to the press release, quote, the department has zero tolerance for violence within our facilities, and any individuals found responsible for this incident will be disciplined and be referred for outside prosecution, unquote. The incident remains under investigation. Read more about the story in the Daily Freeman.
Andrea Mako writes in Porcupine Soup that GlaxoSmithKline Consumer Healthcare Holdings filed a lawsuit July 27th against the town of Durham over their differing views of the worth of the company's Oak Hill business. The town assessed the value of the property at $38,558,100, while GlaxoSmithKline officials say it should be $10,200,000. The 71-acre property on State Route 145 includes an 80,550-square-foot manufacturing facility. The company's lawsuit claims the assessment is, and I quote, excessive, as the assessment is greater than the fair market value of the property and unlawful and or illegal, as the assessor included within the property's assessment non-assessable and or non-real property items in violation of the real property tax law and in violation of the mandates of the New York State Constitution, end quote. GSK's 10-year payments in lieu of taxes ended in 2021, so the company's tax bill will either be large or very large, depending on the lawsuit's outcome. The story says, and I quote, in April 2021, Durham sole assessor Nancy Wincoop Bauer explained in a report to the town board that the majority of GSK's inventory and values had not been updated since 2003, end quote. Neither GSK's attorney, Rebecca M. Spino, nor Town of Durham attorney Tal Raplia would comment on the story. GSK is asking for a September 16th court date in Greene County Supreme Court. And you can read the full story at Porcupine Soup.
Melanie Lekasevic reports for Capital Region Independent Media that Old Ravina Road in Albany County will be closed to traffic beginning August 8th for a bridge replacement project, according to County Executive Daniel McCoy. The road off Route 9W in the town of Queemans and Bethlehem will be closed by the Albany County Department of Works beginning at 7 a.m. on August 8th. The road will remain closed until further notice. No through traffic will be allowed during the closure, including emergency vehicles, McCoy said. Vehicles will be rerouted onto Route 9W during the bridge replacement project. Information on the Old Ravenna Road closure is available by calling the Albany County DPW at 518-765-2786. Read more about this story at theupstater.com.
Steve Hughes reports in the Times Union that a second Albany County resident has been reported infected with the monkeypox virus. That brings New York's total case count to 1,617, according to state health data posted August 2nd. Albany County has reported two cases, and Greene and Columbia counties have recorded one case each since the outbreak began earlier this year. Governor Kathy Hochul declared a state disaster emergency on July 29th because of the outbreak. That declaration widened the pool of eligible individuals who can administer monkeypox vaccines, including EMS personnel, pharmacists, and midwives. So far, though, monkeypox testing is difficult to come by locally. The story says, and I quote, "Several local urgent care centers and healthcare providers contacted by the Times Union last week indicated that their physicians were not prepared to perform a monkeypox test, which involves swabbing a suspicious blister and sending it to a lab," end quote. Columbia County got its first batch of 40 doses of the monkeypox vaccine from the New York State Department of Health, officials said August 1st. Columbia County Department of Health Director Jack Mabb said, and I quote, "Columbia County Department of Health Care Director Jack Mabb said, and I quote, the way the state is working at the moment, and this may change when more vaccines become available, is that the only way a county gets the vaccine is if they have a positive. So we had our first positive 2 weeks ago, and they send you 40 doses. So I was just on a call on Friday with other counties, and Albany County and Sullivan County had two positives, so they got 80 doses each," end quote. Monkeypox spreads through skin-to-skin contact. Greene County has not received any monkeypox vaccine as of August 1st. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden said, and I quote, "Now we just play the waiting game. I guess I would fully expect to have more positives. We're not that far from the city, and we are a tourist location," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, the National Weather Service is issuing a heat advisory in effect from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. It will be sunny and hot with a temperature high near 95 degrees and heat index values as high as 99 degrees. Thursday night will bring scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 2 a.m. It will be partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 69 degrees. And on Friday, isolated showers and thunderstorms between 8 a.m. and 2 p.m., then showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 89 degrees. And showers and possibly a thunderstorm before 8 p.m. on Friday night, it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 68 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXE 90.7 FM radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air Thursday, August 4th at 90.7 FM, including at 11 a.m. It's time for the Transformational Listening Show, this week featuring the music of Ustad Rashid Khan. At 2 p.m., it's time to rush to recess, at least Congress is, and that's on the What's the Frequency Kenneth Show, setting the week's news to the latest music. 3 p.m., it's time for Breaking the Pact on Turn on the News. Gabby Schaffner is the featured artist on the Radia Show at 3:30 p.m., making radio art for your ears. At 4 p.m., we're live from Hudson with the WGXC Afternoon Show with Cecil Graham and Tom DiPietro. At 7 p.m., we're live from Catskill with the Catskill Makers Syndicate and the Thingularity Program, talking all sorts of technology news and more. And then at 8 p.m., it's time for Donna and Honey's Love Motel with romance, advice, and more on your local airwaves at 90.7 FM, WGXC.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Saturday, August 6th, PS21 is putting on a show in Chatham's Crellin Park for Crellin Park Day. It's an interactive program called 846, a retelling of Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring. It's put on by the Jamal Jackson Dance Company. And it's at 3 p.m. on Saturday, August 6th in Crellin Park in Chatham. Find out more in the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. And you can also list your own events there to be read on the radio at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Podcasts get made locally at WGXC.org, as all WGXC's locally produced programs can be subscribed to and found in all the usual podcasting places. Tune in for a mind-expanding radio from local news to a travelogue of sounds, either live at 90.7 FM or anytime at WGXC.org.
Okay, you know what that music means. This is the better weather for Thursday, August 4th, and the weather is going to ruin someone's day. First, the good news. Early morning temperatures range from 66 in Copaig to 69 in Red Hook, all other places falling somewhere in between, and that allows for blowing out any trapped heat from yesterday. Soil is 72 degrees. We have a hard climb in store for the mercury. We hit 80 degrees by 10 a.m. At 4 p.m., the temperature hits 98 degrees and the heat index tops out at 102. And that is a real warning. Even the rough and tumble out there are going to be passing out if they don't watch it. Where wind chill is kind of a joke, heat index means business. Sunstroke, sun cramps, heat exhaustion are possible today, especially if you exert yourself. So we got to do the ditty. Get stuff done early if possible. Pace yourself. Drink plenty of water, keep a spare supply in your car, wear loose clothing, protect from the sun, shower well after swimming. That water is a petri dish. And don't forget to check on your friends and neighbors. Wind gusts will blow some cars around on the highway around 3 p.m., then calm down as quick as it shows up. After 5 p.m., storm activity is expected, and it gets stronger after dark. Overnight, it will continue and be humid with a low of 71. A small break in storm chances early on Friday, then it ramps back up in the afternoon. We will see a high of 90 at 3 p.m. Overnight, still humid, we drop to 70 degrees. Saturday, storm chances remain and we will have a high of 86. Sunday, we will have a stormy afternoon and a high of 93 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be medium high. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 2:12 a.m., then high tide at 7:47 a.m., low tide again at 2:24 p.m., then high tide once again at 8:36 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 81 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:59 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:48 a.m. Looking way up, we see a 40% chance of flares today. Couple that with the solar wind stream we are currently surfing, and some low-level radio mayhem may occur. Solar wind speed is currently 443 kilometers per second at 6.17 protons per million. Radio propagation conditions are currently far below 4 MHz till dark, then far below 15 MHz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 37. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the McPees of East Hampton, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
Got questions about technology, cybersecurity? Whether it's a remote car starter or jellyfish, try your luck at stumping our panel on the Thingularity radio program. Just send your questions to CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. That is CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. And one of our many interns will be electroshocked into inducing an answer for your listening pleasure. Listen to the Thingularity radio program every first Thursday of each month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM or anytime at WGXC.org.
Now to absorb some local color through the magic of AM radio.
The Book of Revelations tells us to watch for the seven signs of evil.
Bacon, sign of evil number 4.
Continuing our sign of evil countdown, here's Vanessa Williams.
Thank you. Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Enduring these threats creates a near constant strain of anxiety and stress on our work. The status quo is unsustainable and unacceptable.
Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson testified before a congressional committee Wednesday at the first ever hearing on the safety of the nation's election workers. Benson said she and her staff are facing an unprecedented wave of unrelenting harassment and threats. Officials from the Department of Justice said the FBI's process for receiving reports of violent threats against workers wasn't built to handle the high volume. Democratic West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin and Republican Maine Senator Susan Collins testified about the need to reform the law governing the counting of electoral votes in presidential elections. Reforms proposed by the two senators include clearly defining the vice president's lack of authority to dispute election results.
The idea that any vice president could have the power to unilaterally accept, reject, change, or halt the counting of electoral votes is antithetical to our constitutional structure and basic democratic principles.
Manchin called for urgency in passing the Bipartisan Electoral Count Reform Act.
As we saw on January the 6th, 2021, a lot of the fixes established by the original Electoral Count Act are not merely outdated, but actually serve as the very mechanisms that bad actors have zeroed in on as a way to potentially invalidate presidential election results.
President Biden signed an executive order Wednesday directing his health secretary to consider actions to assist patients traveling out of state for abortions.
I commit to the American people that we're doing everything in our power to safeguard access to health care, including the right to choose that women had under Roe v. Wade, which was ripped away by this extreme court.
Taiwan is now bracing for China to begin live military drills today, an escalation prompted by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's meeting this week with Taiwanese lawmakers, where she expressed U.S. support for the country's sovereignty. China maintains the island is a part of China. Director of Asia Engagement at the think tank Defense Priorities, Lyle Goldstein, on the impact of Pelosi's visit.
A lot of people in Washington make the mistake of turning this into a messianic, you know, struggle between good and evil. That's a wrongheaded approach that will quickly lead us into World War III with another nuclear power.
I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're continuing with Tinfoil Hat Week with a breaking story from Arizona. A sham audit group hired in 2021 to review Arizona's 2020 election results claimed to have found 282 dead people who had voted. As the Arizona Mirror headline puts it, they were dead wrong. The Associated Press reports that Arizona Attorney General and U.S. Senate candidate Mark Brnovich said his office found only one dead voter after reviewing the findings of Cyber Ninjas, a company with questionable credentials hired by the Arizona Senate. All but one of the 282 were in fact living and were surprised to learn that they were allegedly dead. Combined with the Secretary of State's own investigations, there were just over 400 total questionable voters, and all but a handful have been cleared up. None affected the outcome of the election, and for the one legitimate case Cyber Ninjas did find, it was caught by election officials and not counted. Cyber Ninjas went out of business in January after a county report found the review riddled with errors and had a flawed methodology. That was followed by a judge fining the company $50,000 a day if they did not turn over documents of the publicly financed review to the Arizona Republic newspaper. Tuesday night, Mark Fincham, an election denier and January 6th insurrection participant, became the Republican nominee to replace Mark Brnovich as Secretary of State. Articles and groups taking action are at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
One of them changed the language, to eliminate kind of the outdated terminology related to people with developmental disabilities, which is great. So we won't have to be looking at that sort of stuff. And yes, one of the big ones was supported decision making. So supported decision making is important because traditionally in New York, we've just had guardianship relationships. So if you were a person with, a disability and, you needed, you weren't able to, you needed some additional help in kind of making decisions or, having that kind of life advisor role in your life to kind of help manage things, guardianship was the only option. So, and guardianships can be very restrictive in terms of what rights, are available to people. They're based in very kind of strict legal frameworks. So what's nice about supported decision making is, you can have somebody basically have a little bit more control of their own decisions. They have someone who's helping them get through making decisions. It's not just someone making decisions for them, which is a big deal in someone's life when you think about it, instead of having, someone just telling you, this is what I feel is best for you, that somebody has, input, and that input's valued.
Yeah. And can that be anyone?
It could be anyone who would, I'm not sure of all the legal details of the bill itself, but, it would relate, primarily the audience, it relates to is people with developmental disabilities, but right. It can also be people that are aging with, they might be aging with some kind of, cognition issue, mm-hmm. or, inability to make certain, maybe decisions on their own, but, they could be supported in making decisions.
Gotcha. So in other words, this person that let me reword this here. So the person with the developmental or cognitive disability gets to choose someone who's essentially like a life advisor to give them the best information to make what they feel as the disabled person the best decision.
It's not just giving them the best information, but it's using their input. It might be just rephrasing questions in a way that is more understandable. If it's a yes and no questions versus, some very complex, nuanced legal decision that they're making, if they can interpret it to where it's more understandable, plain language. You talk about plain language. So if things can be interpreted into a way where it's in like plain language, they can be better informed and make informed, the decisions are informed by the individual person's what they would like. It's informed by what they would like and not just someone making a decision based on what they think they would like. So it's person-centered.
Gotcha. And some of the other stuff that was done was removing the antiquated and long outdated phrasing around mental illness and developmental disability, getting rid of the R word. I mean, I hate the word so damn much, Alex, I can't even say it on the podcast. And you know me, I have no issue really saying anything. I can't even bring myself to say the word.
I am very happy that that is something that they were able to change. I mean, it seems like something very simple. And so I'm very happy that they have put the effort into doing it. Because when you do read through a lot of bill, because even when you read through bill language, they have to cite everything correctly. And so, even if they're citing something, they have to use, what the actual language is in the statute,
right.
or in the bill. And it's, I think it's a really, it's a really positive thing moving forward that we can, not refer to people that way.
Yeah, was there anything done from what you know to strengthen the rights and protections for people with physical disabilities that are considered non-developmental?
I, off the top of my head, I don't remember all the specifics of what was in the bill package. I know, as you said in the opening, you know, the governor did sign the proclamation on the ADA, which if people have been following disability kind of rights stuff in New York, was a very big deal. We are kind of in a new era now with Governor Hochul, where there is acknowledgement of the ADA, where she has put together a diverse team of people, with the chief disability officer leading, Kim Hill. And so we're very excited for what is, you know, coming out of that office. You know, there may not have been anything specific related to physical disability at the ADA signing, but I know for a fact that they're working on some really important things right now that will probably be released later in the year as we move forward and hopefully into the next legislative session. So I know they're doing really good work. I think we all have faith in the ability of our government now to, you know, at least acknowledge people with disabilities and hopefully get some more great stuff into law for us, make some changes, positive changes.
That's really good to hear, Alex, and I'm very glad you told me that, because to me, having been part of, and I continue to be as much as I can, part of the Fair Pay for Home Care advocacy, the governor did not include that in her budget, as you know. And one of the things that just struck me about that is the home care workforce is so predominantly made up of women, yet she didn't include it in her budget. She talks so much about being a mom and having to sacrifice a lot of things, and it just, the whole thing felt, and I'll say, at least for me personally, continues to feel a little disingenuous. So that's good to hear that there's some progress, that it sounds like things are still coming together enough, and either you can't or don't feel comfortable getting more into that stuff, and that's totally okay, because, you know, the cat's gotta come out of the bag when it's ready to.
Yeah, so I don't have any specific information on anything that they're planning. I guess I'm just expressing optimism in that.
Sure.
That they do have a good team there, that I think have the interests of people with disabilities in mind, that they are aware of a lot of the issues at play. I know, you know, when Kim Hill was first introduced as the chief disability officer, she mentioned fair pay for home care specifically, which I thought was great. I mean, we would love to have that passed. We're still working on that issue. And I know there are other issues as well that we would, that we would hope the governor would support and get behind. We're not, you know, they haven't said yes to everything. So, you know, we're not 100% in line with, you know, our agenda and, you know, where they are thinking of going, which I think is not probably a big surprise. But, you know, we will continue to work with them. And yeah, we're optimistic. And I think it's encouraging that they have, you know, I think there's a difference between the past administration of the governor and kind of a lot of what's going on now. So people should be optimistic.
This is true. Yeah, you're absolutely not wrong. And, you know, it almost feels like, you know, advocacy and baseball are very similar in that if you're successful, you know, 30% of the time in terms of your advocacy, you have plenty to celebrate.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we have things to celebrate. We have things to celebrate. And I think, you know, there are a lot of negative things, you know, as we're talking about disability poverty and a lot of the situation that people are in, that's, you know, sometimes we get stuck thinking about a lot of that stuff, which we should be thinking about. And it's important to keep thinking about, a lot of that, but, I think it's also important to be kind of thinking optimistically about, you know, what we can change, where we can go, what we can do, what we can accomplish, in moving things forward for everyone.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Counties in New York State are under a drought watch, which could be the norm as climate change heats up the planet. According to the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, a drought watch is the least severe on the drought monitoring scale. For now, public water suppliers start conserving water and urge people to reduce their water use. The National Integrated Drought Information System classifies this as a moderate drought. Sylvia Reeves, the system's Northeast Regional Drought Information Coordinator, says these pop-up droughts have been typical in the last 2 years in the entire Northeast.
We've seen more frequent drought events that have lasted anywhere from 6 months to a little over a year. And those events typically have come on in what we call a flashy form, rapid onset of drought condition and rapid intensification.
Reeves adds if several different indicators of groundwater, surface water, and wells don't change, drought conditions could be upgraded to severe. That's what New York faced in summer and mid-fall of 2020. These conditions aren't generally bad enough to cause wildfires, but grass and brush fires could be forces to contend with. During droughts, it isn't just about needing water for small things, like brushing your teeth or doing laundry. It's about making sure vital crops are irrigated thoroughly and having a decent supply of groundwater. As weather gets more extreme, droughts could be more prolonged, says Allison Branco, who works on climate adaptation issues for the Nature Conservancy of Long Island.
What we're going to see is not a huge change in the overall amount of rain we receive, a little increase, but not a ton, but it's going to come in less frequent, more severe bursts, like big heavy storms, and not so much like that slow, steady rain.
She adds there could be periods of droughts between rain events, but groundwater sources won't be able to replenish as quickly. Branco, a Long Island resident, feels the infrastructure to pump groundwater isn't equipped to meet the high demands a drought would create. However, she says, New York is not at risk of the kinds of lengthy droughts seen in California and other western states. I'm Edwin J. Vieira, New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and this is the WGXC Renewable Weather Report. And we start each renewable weather report tracking the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Gas Buddy website says that the Sunoco in Tannersville has the lowest gallon of gas in Greene County right now at $4.45 a gallon. Then the air quality forecast from the National Weather Service in Albany is a 17. It's slightly better than yesterday. Then we look at the UV index from the EPA, and it is 9 today. That is very high. You should wear a shirt, hat, and sunscreen if you're out in the sun today between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., as it's going to be a hot Thursday. Sunny and hot is the forecast, with a high of 93 and a south wind 6 to 10 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Then Thursday night, the chance of rain begins. There's a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before midnight. Then it's mostly cloudy with a low around 68 and a southwest wind 6 miles per hour spinning those windmills. Friday, there is a 70% chance of rain. Showers and thunderstorms are possible. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 86. Friday night, again, there's a 60% chance of showers or a thunderstorm with a low around 67. Saturday, there's a 50% chance of rain. Partly sunny is the forecast with a high of 83 and a low around 69. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Radio for open ears.
They fill coins in the fortune fountain, searching for a place in the mountain where the sexless virgins could moan, watched by clergymen with faces of stone. Under the law of human absurdity, when the crying women of Jerusalem are empty of tears, when the bloodthirsty hunters killing their bears to satisfy their hunger for blood, to make the world know that everything good be better for human absurdity. Noblemen die in white wigs when undertakers refuse to dig, and when offshore heroes massacre innocent, curious people who underrate the power of human absurdity. Malicious snobs seeming rich, handling the brush to the witch, saying go and show them our charity, let the saints praise our activity. Things are not right in the land of human absurdity. The tyrants of business in Wall Street will moan of the sudden heat when they try to swindle the insane one who realizes that he has the game won. The game of human absurdity. Prisons are filled with blockheads who ambitious crept to bed to experience their wrong imagination that nobody can find compensation. Power of human absurdity. highway. Gloomy smuggler boats on the seaway, and the sinister drug shark in streets of the town. Murderous thieves, hypocrites, they're all falling down to the bottom of human absurdity. Malicious Chinese producing power again, overflowing the world with radioactive rain, and the Russians incriminating USA. I wish them all welcome